You're listening to CHRY 105.5 FM. My name is Andrew Masuda. I am your host, and we are joined on the line by Russell Gregg, the former station manager of CFBU Radio at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario. How's it going, Russ?
Good, Andrew. How are you?
I am all right. I imagine that things have been quite crazy for you in the last several weeks or so.
It has been a pretty chaotic time.
Yeah, exactly. Perhaps we should let our listeners know exactly what it is that. First of all, what is CFBU, and where is this all, and what do you guys do?
CFBU is the only campus and community alternative radio station in the Niagara region. We broadcast through the city of St. Catharines as well as adjoining places like Niagara Falls from Brock University.
Okay. And you were at 103.7
103.7 FM.
Right. Okay. So how long has CFBU been on the air?
CFBU has been FM since 1998. That was when we were granted our license by the CRTC. Although it has existed in one form or another since the 1970s.
So, closed circuit or
closed circuit, we broadcast to an enthusiastic bunch at the in the cafeteria in the campus pub for a number of years before going FM.
I think that campuses across Canada probably have had radio stations in their cafeterias all, you know, since probably sometime in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay, so understand that in the past several weeks, the campus of Brock has seen quite a few changes, and the airwaves in the Niagara region have seen one really significant change. Maybe you could let our listeners know what's going on with that.
On June 18th, we received a letter from the Brock University Student Union saying that over the course of CFU's existence, we had accumulated a debt in the form predominantly of a loan that the Students Union gave us of $77,000.
Wow, that's a fairly large chunk of money.
That is a good chunk of money. That represents an initial loan of $60,000, which was granted to us back in 1998 to cover all of our setup expenses and the initial purchase of the equipment. The additional $17,000 is a result of deficit budgets that have been run over the last 5 years. With that letter, we were given 24 hours in which to pay off the entire $77,000.
24 hours?
24 hours.
Wow, that's pretty harsh.
Mm-hmm. If we were to fail to do that within the 24-hour time period, they would change the locks on our studios and seize all of our assets, which is something that that they did in fact do on July 3rd.
Okay, so first of all, is this we should backtrack a little bit here. When you say deficit budgets, what exactly does that entail?
I guess we should actually start with the loan agreement itself.
Perhaps we should.
When the Student Union granted us this loan, the arrangement was made that we would pay them back $5,000 a year. Mm-hmm. It was an interest-free loan, and with the exception of 1999, in which only $4,250 was paid back, we have made those payments consistently. Mm-hmm. In terms of the deficit budget, you're looking at a few thousand dollars a year expenses over surplus or expenses over revenue.
So
every
you,
year for the
you,
last 4 years.
You did not make as much money as you ended up spending.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
It would be a negative number at the end of the balance
sheet. That is correct.
I hate those balance sheets, by the way. They always confuse me in no end. Okay, so I did look over some of the some of the documents that were on the Brock University Student Union website, which I don't recall the URL offhand. I'm a bad journalist. I should keep all this information.
They can be accessed at www.busu.net.
Okay. BUSU.net. I'm writing this down because now I'm a good journalist. But I did remember seeing something about the loan being from the Royal Bank, and then they were covering it, something to that effect.
That was at the initial startup. I believe 1996, 2 years before CFBU went on air. They acquired a loan from the Royal Bank. That was the initial $60,000. Because of the interest rates and the repayment and all that, the Brock University Student Union stepped in 1998 and assumed that loan.
Now, this was not the result of CFBU, the Brock Radio Society, turning to the student union saying, "Please take this on."
This was several years before my tenure at CFBU.
So
I'm not sure
whether
the CFBU board of directors approached the student union and asked for the help, or whether the Brock University Student Union jumped in.
But regardless, it was taken on by the student union. Okay, so maybe we can clear something up then. Does the Brock University Student Radio, that's the actual official term for it, I assume. How does it get its funding, and how does that all work?
The vast majority of the funding for CFBU comes from the students at Brock University. They pay $1.50 per credit into a student radio fund, and that money is distributed to us 4 times a year. Our estimates for this forthcoming fiscal year had that pegged at about $76,000. The remaining revenue came from an annual week-long funding drive, which we held every October, and a very small amount of money through advertising and some merchandise sales.
So why exactly did they suddenly turn to you now? Why now, and say, like, we want it all back now?
Well, that's a good question, and that's one that we've been asking ourselves since we received the initial letter. An interesting point about the letter is that again, it was dated June 18th. We were given till 4 p.m. June 19th, but the decision was made by the Student Union Board of Directors at a meeting on June 9th. Which means that they made this decision, sat on it without telling anybody for 9 days, and then gave us 24 hours, which I find a little odd.
And they gave you no notice whatsoever beforehand that they were upset with the repayment schedule, with the financial, I guess, the fiscal. Responsibility of the radio station beforehand. They didn't say, you know, we really need to rediscuss or renegotiate the repayment kind of schedule beforehand.
The student union business manager had expressed that
they were dissatisfied.
That they wanted to see some changes in terms of I guess how the station operates and how we could turn it. Start turning a profit at the radio station, it was probably 10 days after my last meeting with the business manager that we got the letter. We had discussed a number of options in terms of trimming our expenses or increasing revenues to start balancing our budgets, and we were all under the impression that we were making some pretty good progress, and we had some good ideas, and then the letter showed up.
Mm-hmm. Now, this letter was from the Student Union Board of Directors?
Yes.
Okay, because a lot of the sort of, I guess, defense of the student union that's come over the NCRA, the National Campus Community Radio Association list, email list, has been from only one individual from the student union, which is Mark Bisaggio.
Bisaggio
is the president?
He is the president, the elected president of the student union.
It seems from the letters that he's been putting forth, he alleges that there's actually been a fairly involved, lengthy series of negotiations around this.
I would not say that's the case.
Okay. I mean, one of the things that he was saying was that, this is almost a direct quote. I wrote it down. I couldn't print it out. Thanks, Windows. Which was that there was he attributes this to a general failing of CFBU's structure and an unwillingness to seriously entertain organizational changes that might make the station financially viable. Did anybody from the student union discuss organizational changes? Or you were just saying they were. What kind of changes would those have been?
From the point that we got the shutdown letter, our board of directors and the student union began talking. We began an emergency fundraising campaign to try and raise a chunk of money. We kept approaching the student union with a number of different offers, and they consistently gave us back sort of what they wanted to see. Among the things they wanted to see was an immediate layoff of all staff, consolidation of the staff into perhaps maybe just one position out of our current three. They wanted the majority of seats on the radio board of directors. They wanted a five-year budget put into place, very fiscally conservative budget. And the board of directors acquiesced on all of these points. And even so, the bailiff showed up last Wednesday afternoon.
So what is he talking about then when he writes that attempts to help were met with board and staff unwilling to listen or act?
That's I'm afraid that's something you'll have to speak to Mr. Bisaggio about, because at every turn we have tried to accommodate every one of BUSU's wishes in order to simply remain on the air and provide a broadcast alternative in the Niagara region.
Mm-hmm. So now, when you talk about people from the bailiff's office showing up, what exactly happened, and when did you go off air?
That would have been last Wednesday afternoon, the 4th, at about 12:30. A dozen fairly burly gentlemen came in from the bailiff's office, ordered the staff and volunteers out of the house, and kept us out on the lawn of our studios, out in front of our studios, and walked in and inventoried everything and carted it into the back of a Ryder van and drove off.
Wow. So when they took away all of your broadcast equipment.
That's correct.
Which means that there's no mixing boards, no turntables, no CD players.
Mm-hmm.
Did they go after the antenna, transmitter, exciter, all that stuff as well?
I believe those are in their possession as well right now.
So at this point, it's it would require a major influx of equipment to be able to try and restart CFBU.
Mm-hmm. Although it's something that we're not ruling out.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years we've made a lot of friends in the Niagara region, and a lot of people from even commercial radio stations in the region who very much support the concept of community radio. We are looking at options to borrow equipment and broadcast at a thus far undisclosed location off the Brock University campus.
Mm-hmm. It would have to be, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The simple fact of the matter is, you know, they may hold the they may now hold the equipment, but we hold the license. And you know, until the CRTC says otherwise, you know, it's our right to broadcast at the frequency 103.7 FM.
Mm-hmm. So this may actually turn you into a completely community radio station.
It is possible. Our impression is that those student union fees that we collect every year would continue to go to us, regardless of whether we're broadcasting on campus or off campus, as long as we're meeting our mandate of, you know, alternative programming. The move to institute the levy was done by a referendum back in the mid-1990s. And it would take another levy to, you know, for the students to say, you know, no, we no longer wish to fund this.
So the students decided through a referendum, which means that a large number of students voted to support you in terms of contributing a certain amount of their tuition fees per year for CFBU.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been the actions of a small group of elected students to shut you down.
That's correct.
What can our listeners do to help support CFBU and to help you guys out in terms of like getting back on the air, getting you know, yourselves you know, some equipment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, for starters, please keep your browsers turned to www.cfbu.niagara.com. Any updates that we have will be posted there. As well, write a letter to the president of the Students' Union, write a letter to the president of the university, Dr. David Atkinson, and, you know, explain to them that, you know, while you're not necessarily living in the Niagara region, that, you know, you certainly appreciate how important non-commercial radio is, you know, in your life. And, you know, those letters carry a lot of weight.
Well, thank you very much for joining us and letting us know what's happening to one of our sister stations. Before I let you go, can you do your best imitation of what listeners in St. Catharines hear if they tune to 103.7 right now?
Sounds very much like this.